my good old paper and ink this morning. Look at that. Anybody else got paper and ink with them today? No? Have you? Cool. Not that it matters, obviously. When I was preparing for the message, I know I've heard people say you shouldn't, but I really love my Bible. I'm so familiar with it. I know where things are, and I've got so many notes and underlinings, and I've got little flowers drawn on it and all the rest of it, highlighting. I just really love my Bible. Anyway, you got your Bibles with you? You're going to need them this morning. Although really, Pauline's already preached my message today, and Vic's opening psalm this morning really was what my message is today. I don't know if you remember what that was.
Psalm 34.
Psalm 39, I think, wasn't it? Was it 34? It wasn't 139, that was Pauline's. It's not often you're wrong, darling. Okay, anyway, Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you for the power, the strength, the mighty power of your word in our hearts, in our lives, in our mouths, and in our circumstances. So we praise you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you that you will minister to our heart just what we need this morning. And open our ears, Lord, unstop our ears so that we hear what you are saying, the truth that you are speaking to our hearts and into our lives. So we thank you for this word and we bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Well, recent weeks we've been talking about God's love, and I was really encouraged to switch on Ben Conway's Tree of Life broadcast that he did when Andrew Womack was preaching at his church just before our conference. And he said at that, he said this whole, he said the whole year we've been speaking about God's love. And I thought, yes, this is a kingdom thing that God really wants us to know his love, to know him intimately, personally, in every area of life. Not just being called to prayer five times a day or whatever. This is an everyday, moment by moment, life experience and practice to be in God's love and in fellowship with him. So yeah, we've been meditating on God's love, and I'm not really talking about God's love today, but it is all about having relationship with him. That is what the Christian life is all about, is being in loving fellowship and relationship with God. That is the purpose of our existence. And we were talking about that at Bible study on Thursday, about the importance of a vibrant relationship with God. A few weeks ago, when we were in our series about God's love, and Vic spoke from Psalm 139. And in the past, that hasn't really done it for me, Psalm 139, but something about that particular teaching, it really got me to enjoy Psalm 139. And there was one verse that jumped out, which isn't the obvious one, I have to say, except Pauline, you spoke it out this morning. And then as you read through the psalm, I thought, yes, that is the gist of what the psalmist is saying here. I think it's David, isn't it? Psalm 139. But what jumped out at me was verse 3. Anyway, if you turn to Psalm 139, let's just read a bit of it. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. And it was that phrase, compassest my path. I thought, what does that mean? Because when I first thought about it, I thought, does it mean encompass? Which is what Pauline was saying this morning when she was saying about how God goes before us, he's beside us, he's behind us, he's got our back, this kind of thing. And it certainly does, that certainly is the truth, and he leads us forward. But I looked at the Hebrew, and it's a word that means to scatter, to fan, to spread. So in this sense, God is, he's actually spreading the road that we are walking on. He is creating the road for us to walk on. He's laying the path before us for us to step by step walk. And as we walk through life, God prepares the way. And he goes before us and he accompanies us. And there are actually many scriptures. This made me kind of go on a bit of a rabbit trail about other kinds of thoroughfares in scripture. You've got your path. The way is a very common word that's used about 700 times. The way, lead you in the way. Then there's wayside. The word road is used just one time in the whole scripture, according to Strong's. And a highway is a common word, and street. And this word way, that's very common, it means a trodden road. Then you have the word path, which means a well-trodden road. And then this highway is a more built-up road, like a more engineered road. So there's many different types of path that you could use as an analogy for the walk of life. And there's many descriptions to these paths. For example, we have straight, we have narrow, winding, wide, light, dark, rough, smooth, uphill, downhill, mountain, valley. There's a lot of different descriptions, and they are, of course, all allegories for life. And they describe our various life experiences, good and bad. And they can be experiences that come upon us or that we bring upon ourselves. It can be to do with emotion, how we're handling life's challenges. And the fact that the word talks so often about these things speaks very strongly to me of God's desire to be involved in that walk, in our path, whether it be one that we haven't traveled before or one that we're very used to traveling. And in our minds, we can think of what these things might mean. I was thinking this morning, what does it mean to be on a path? You know, it's about experience and life happening and situations coming up, problems arising. This is all about a path that we need to walk as we resolve these things and walk through problems and situations and good times as well, walking through these things and enjoying life's experiences. And of course, the whole point of all of this is the promise of God that he is with us. His presence and his provision on any path that we are on is reiterated throughout scripture. And a couple of them came to me as I was writing my notes. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. As we acknowledge the Lord, as we involve him in all our decision making by prayer and the wisdom of his word, he is with us to then lead us through and bring us victoriously through every situation that we go through. That's his promise. We are more than conquerors. All his promises are yes and amen. We've sung that this morning. And Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And that is not this book. You don't take this word and expect it to light your way. The other night I went for a walk when Vic was away. I hadn't been out all day. I'd been at home and I wanted to get out and stretch my legs. So I decided to go to Findhorn. And so I was just walking around Findhorn. It was dark, the street lighting was on. And my grandma lived in Findhorn when I was a child. So I remember playing in the streets and the lanes as a child. So I just kind of going down memory lane somewhat. And one of the areas I was walking, I noticed this path that went between some houses, and I remember seeing it as a child, but I never went down it as a child. And I thought, I'm going to go down that path and see where it leads. So I started to walk down the path, and there was no lighting. It got pitch black. Now, I had my phone with me. Now, what I didn't do, I did not do this. I did not open my Bible app and expect it to light the way. I put the torch on my phone, and that lit my path. So, there's, you know, owning a Bible doesn't mean it's going to light your path. It's the light of the word in us that enlightens our life walk.
Yeah.
You know, we have to get it in us for it to be the light and give the direction. So, I'm not really preaching on this morning, but it was this thinking about paths, life journeys, and then I think it was, it doesn't matter who I was speaking to, I was speaking about it. And as I was speaking to this person, it made me think of Moses when they fought the Amalekites when they first came out of Egypt. And he, as long as he had his rod lifted, they prevailed. So I went to that. It's Exodus 17, which is where I am coming from this morning. And that is the second half of that chapter. So I read the first half and I thought, wow, this is what I am preaching on today. And it is about a journey. It's about the Israelites' journey and their attitude on that journey, which we're all very familiar with. But this is about relating it to our own lives and making the choices to allow God, allow his word, allow the light of his word to be our life's guide and our decision-making priority. So Exodus 17, let's have a look at this. I had intended to preach through the whole of it today, but I don't think I will. I'm just going to do this first half and then maybe do the other half another time. Next week, okay. Excuse me. So, Exodus 17. If you've got your Bible, read along with me. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed, from the wilderness of Sin, after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord. Say, commandment of the Lord. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Wow. So here we are. They've arrived at this place called Rephidim. They have been on a journey. It says that twice. They've been on a journey, and at the end of their journeying, here they arrive at this place. Well, I say the end of their journey. It wasn't the end of the journey, and that is a very important point. They're on life's path, and a lot's happened to them. up until this point. First of all, they saw the miraculous 9 plagues of God coming upon Egypt as part of their deliverance. And then secondly, they saw the miraculous deliverance through the 10th plague and the protection of the blood of the Passover lamb. Then they were led out. They saw the miraculous parting of the Red Sea, and they walked through it and they didn't even get wet feet. They saw the destruction of the Egyptian army as the waters closed again over them. They saw that. Then they saw the miraculous provision of manna every day in the desert. And then they saw the miraculous provision of quail when they were murmuring and complaining that they were fed up of manna. And then they've just come from a place where the water was too bitter to drink, and so Moses threw in a stick and it was made sweet. At this point, we might expect some level of anticipation of the goodness of God and of his provision. A confidence even, perhaps, that God would do it again. We sang that this morning. You've done great things and I know you'll do them again. That's what they should have been thinking. You're going to do it again. So they reach this place, and this place is called Rephidim. But there's no water here. But listen to this. This place is called Rephidim. This place is not called Canaan. So this is not where they were heading. This was not the final destination. But they get here. Rephidim means resting places, but there's no water. And what did they do? They whinged. They murmured again. They complained again that there was no water. And they got so angry with Moses, he thought they were going to stone him. I mean, that's pretty aggressive, pretty violent expression of displeasure. But what should their attitude have been? Well, firstly, they should have remembered a basic truth. And look at Exodus 3:17. This is the Lord speaking, and he says, "And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." And this place was not the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. This was Rephidim. And this was not a land that was flowing with milk and honey either. There was not even water here. So putting two and two together, this is not the final destination. So we are not going to die here, because the promise that has been spoken through generations, and here you are, you're right in the midst of the fulfillment of it. God has led you miraculously out of Egypt. You've seen all these different things happening. You're not going to die here. This is not the end. And let me tell you now, whatever problem you're going through, this is not the end. You're not going to die here. It's not the end. You don't need to murmur. Don't complain. Remember that God has done it before and he'll do it again, because he is faithful and he is with us. So they weren't going to die here. Therefore, God was going to supply their need, because they were in the midst of a promise from getting from A to B. They left A They weren't at B. So, Lord, how are you going to meet my need here? They didn't need to get so cross with Moses that Moses thought they were going to stone him. They should and could have been excited about what God was going to do here. Watch for the next amazing thing that God's going to do. And those pranks. Oh, that's amazing. Remember the blood that saved us from the angel of death. Oh my goodness, that is amazing. Remember the manna that we woke up every day and it was there for us just to gather. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, and the quail. Remember the quail. Oh, that quail. And the Red Sea. Remember that. And remember the army. Remember watching that. The water closing on the army. That was awesome. They should have been excited. But instead, they were utterly in the moment. They were utterly overwhelmed by this current circumstance. Let's look again at Exodus 17, verse 3. And the people thirsted there. Their physical need, their physical desire and want made them completely forget everything miraculous that they'd seen. This really minor problem compared to what they'd been through before. How do you get through the sea? The sea is right there. How are we going to get through that? And it parted. You know, this was a might be thirsty, was minor, but it was acute. It was an intense thing, and they just lost all faith. What is going on in our lives that really is overwhelming us when God is the answer, has provided every answer? He is faithful. They had no vision. They had no hope. They were not involving faith in their mindset, in their attitudes. All they knew was anxiety and anger. And that was not a blessing to God or Moses. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him, the word says. You know, God is looking to us to let faith rise up. And believe him, trust him, stand on what we know he's promised us, and not be anxious and angry. And believe me, my dear brothers and sisters, I need this as much as you do. You know, this has been so ministering to me this week. It didn't bless God because they chose not to think about all that God had done. It's like they just forgot. Oh, well, that was then. He did all that then. What about now? Yeah, okay, I've seen all that then, but what about now? What about my need now? Oh, oh, oh. And that's me. Oh, oh. Come on, where's your faith, woman? Where's your faith, Nunzi? Come on. Verse 7 reveals their hearts here. Let's look at this. This is Moses called this place. He called it Massah and Meribah, which means chiding or strife and temptation, meaning they tempted the Lord. Saying what? Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? Well, look what he did. Look how far he's brought you. Look where you've come from. Look at the miracles you've already seen. Every one of us in here has seen God move in our lives in one way or another. Now, he's done it before. And we know he'll do it again because he's faithful. Because that's what he does. That's what he does. He pro- provides solutions. He walks with us in the way. He creates the road in front of us that we can walk on. Failure is not in his language. That's our language when we forget what God has done and forget to stand in faith in things and worry and get angry and all the rest of it. And it's like we're saying, are you with me or not? So think about this. Think about the joy and the celebration that there could have been here if they'd been in faith. Think about what Moses could have called the place. Instead of having to call it strife and temptation, he could have called it, for example, he could have called it water of life, because we know this hitting the rock is the reference to Jesus and the Lord striking him with the judgment and the water of our salvation flowing from him. Could have been a beautiful picture, adding to the typology there of that. Or it could have just been glorious, miraculous provision. That would have been a fantastic name to call the place because of your standing in faith in that place. What are we calling our lives at the moment? Are we calling, what would God call our life? Would he call it whinge and complain? Would he call it doubt and unbelief? Or would he call it glorious standing in faith, mighty victory being won, mighty overcoming power charging through your life? Thank you for that one amen. So let's ask ourselves this question. Are we remembering God's faithfulness? Are we remembering past victories, previous answers to prayer, glorious answers to prayer? Or are we living in a way that says, is God with me or not? And I don't mean any condemnation at all. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of mind. Is God with me or not? Yes. Yes, he is. He is with you. I am with you to deliver you, he said to Joshua. I am with you to deliver you. And he's with us to deliver us from whatever is going on. Are we being influenced by those around us? A couple of little smiles there. Are we being influenced by those around us? Or are we being influenced by who we know God is? Because we've seen him do it before. Because it's in his word. And in the past, we've seen it in the word, we've stood on it, and we've seen it come to pass. Whatever's going on now, we can see the provision in the word, and we can know that God will bring us through, because it's a promise. He never fails. He cannot fail. Failure comes from us, because he can't fail. And there's no condemnation. It's just a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call to say, hang on a minute. I don't have to live in failure. I don't have to live in defeat. I don't have to be, as Andrew would say, as sick and as poor as my unbelieving neighbors. We can rise up in the victory that God has provided. Sometimes you can have a specific word and a specific direction for your life's path. But not always. Doesn't always begin like that. However, there are many, many biblical promises that we can apply to every situation. So you don't need an actual word. You don't need Sean to come and say, thus saith the Lord, X, Y, and Z. I mean, okay, he might, and that may give you an idea of you know, the direction to walk in. But if you don't have that, there are still many, many promises in the word that God is covenant bound to fulfill. And the promises are many, many. First of all, the promises that you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and he in you gives you gifts, gives you fruit, and shows you things to come. That's a huge thing to have access to. You have the word of God. You have the word to use as seed and sword. We've spoken about that multiple times in the fellowship. You have the very authority of heaven to use. Now, I was thinking about this, and it made me think about the Queen's funeral. And if any of you watched that, if you remember the service in Windsor Chapel at the end, and just before the committal, where her coffin was lowered into the ground, they removed from her coffin the items of her queenship. So the first thing they took off was the scepter, I think. They took the scepter first. They took that rod of authority from off of her coffin and put it over on the shelf. Then they took the orb, which is a symbol of the globe with the cross as Jesus, as savior of the world. They took that from off of her. So they took away from that coffin the symbol of authority and put it on the shelf. Then they take the crown. So they went over and very super respectfully take the crown off the coffin and go and put it on the shelf. Why do they do that? Because she's dead. So she no longer has authority. She no longer has power. That's been removed. But let me tell you this. You are not dead.
Amen.
While you're alive, while she was alive, while she was breathing, she had the authority. She had the power. She wore the crown. But now she's dead. She doesn't. Death removes that. I tell you, as long as you are alive, as long as you are breathing, you have authority. And you have power. And don't let anybody or anything persuade you that you cannot use that power and authority in your life. Because a living, breathing human being has been, who is born again, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. You have been given the authority. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All power and authority has been given to me." And then he said, "Go ye." In other words, what I've been given, I'm giving to you. You have the exact same power. Matthew 28, 18. What did I say? 28, 18. All power, not some power, not a little bit of power, not just a teaspoon of power. All power. All power has been given to Jesus through his awesome, awesome victory. And then he's given that to us. He's given us the same power, the same authority that he has to use in our lives. We've been given the blessing of giving and seeing God give back to us. Just a very brief testimony. A while ago, one of the first times we went to see Andrew Womack was he was being hosted by a friend of ours, David, who had his meeting in York, so we were in York. And David actually was the one who did the offering talk. He gave the teaching for the offering and then received the offering. And I can't remember what he said, but it was really, really powerful. And it actually made Vic empty his wallet into the offering, because it was really, that's how powerful it was. And it was kind of before our real great revelation of giving. We've got a great revelation of giving, but before we really understood about the principles of giving. And so Vic emptied his wallet. I can't remember how much it was now. I can't remember how much it was. It was no. I mean, it wasn't much. I mean, it wasn't thousands of pounds or anything. It was maybe, well, like, say it was £100. I don't know if it was that. Say it was £100. Anyway, after the service, we were fellowshipping, and another lovely couple who we knew came up and said, "Vic, I believe God has laid this on my heart to give you this gift." And he handed him an envelope and gave him this envelope. So, praise Lord, thank you very much. Put it in the back pocket. And then you're walking back to the car and you're thinking, what's in there? What's in there? What's in there? So anyway, it was, say, £200. So it was double what Vic had given. And I said to him, "I bet you wish you'd put more in now, don't you?" Anyway, point is, there's principles of God that we can use, put into access, into practice to see his kingdom coming in our lives. We have access to the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "Christ has been made unto us wisdom." Wisdom is a really, really important thing. I like to try and do it. Sometimes I slip. But there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, which is all about wisdom. And generally, there's 31 days in a month, not always. But that's a proverb a day, a chapter a day. And I think it's a really good principle just to keep that wisdom, daily wisdom of God, into our hearts every day. Just read it, whatever, on the fifth, read chapter five. If you skip a few days and it gets to the 17th, read chapter 17. And James 1 verse 5 says, "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all men and upbraids not." We have access to wisdom to make good choices, good life choices. And now another great promise is that we are in a better covenant with better promises. So when we look at all the amazing things that went on for Moses and the Israelites, that was based on an inferior covenant. We have a better covenant because the kingdom is within us. We're not relying on a man with a stick to go and put his stick in the water and part it. We've been given that power, that authority. And we can rejoice. Vic read Psalm 34 at the start, which I think was about praising the Lord at all times. Something, was it, Vic? Yeah. Is that what it is? Oh, come on. Psalm 34. Yeah. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall sometimes be in my mouth. Continually be in my mouth." Yes, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. One of my mother's favorite sayings, when you asked her, "How are you today?" "Praising the Lord, darling, in every circumstance." So, the point here, the Israelites had so much to rejoice about. How much more do we have to rejoice about? With the amazing provision that God has made through Jesus. What urgent needs do we have today? Their urgent need was water. They were thirsty and they needed it quick. They needed a miracle. What's our need today? What's our urgent need? Are we sick? Are we in pain? Amen, brother. Do you have something that's causing you worry? Do you have a bill to pay and no money to pay it? Do you have a family crisis going on? Now, I'm not going to minimize your problem, but I do want us to be excited about how God is going to meet this need, because he's done it before and I haven't reached my final destination yet. So he's going to do it again. The best is yet to come. I made you sing that over and over this morning. Because with that attitude, faith rises. And you can think, right, Lord, how am I getting through this? Like Mary said, how shall this happen to me, seeing as I know not a man? You know, how am I doing this, Lord? Explain. Show me. Because he will never fail. Failure is not in his language. And we have daily choices to make. I've been preparing for this all week. And yesterday, Vic and I went on a walk and he started talking about some of his jobs and how Vic has multiple streams of income, which is great. And he said that one of them has, it looks like it might be drying up. And when he said that, got this little pang of anxiety. Now that was okay. I got the pang of anxiety, but then what? Then what? Doesn't matter. Because my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. He is our provider. I don't know where the next income is coming from, but I know that God knows. And as long as I am listening and seeking him and enjoying his presence, trusting in him, trusting in his provision, it's going to work out. Vic has actually gone out to look for very, very little of the work that he does. Most of it has come to him because God brings it. God is faithful. He's faithful. Now, that's not to say that you just sit back and don't do anything. It doesn't work like that. There has to be movement. A path is not for just standing still on. A path is for walking. So we need to be active. We need to be actively engaged with God in seeking him and seeking the answers that he wants to give us, the answers that he has. And how he wants to do that, it will come in different ways. You may create the answer yourself. I mean, I don't mean, you know, apart from him, obviously in him. And we've told you many times of my testimony of getting Lisa this job. She was working I forget where she was working now. No, because it was a Harvey Nichols job. Maybe it was. Maybe it was Johnson's. No, she'd gone to uni. She was working at New Look. That was it. She was just working at New Look in on the shop floor. And she saw this advert come up for a position in Harvey Nichols in Edinburgh. And I knew that that job would be good for her. Not as a final destination again, but as the next step and as an entry. So I knew this was not a final destination, but this job would be the next step on a long ladder. And so I prayed, and as you know, I envisioned the table prepared before me with the finished work of Jesus on it. And I saw this job for Lisa on it, and I prayerfully took it. I said, Lord, I take that job for Lisa, and I call it hers. And I prayed and prayed. You know, the word says, pray without ceasing. And I believe that means pray until you see it come to pass. Just keep on. Thank you, Lord, that's hers. Thank you, Lord, that job is Lisa's. I call that job hers. And then I was at work one day when we still had cinders, and I suddenly got this sick feeling about her job, and that something that perhaps was coming against it, or that something was happening. I thought, I need to pray. So what came to me then was the story of Esther and how the king gave Esther his ring. She asked the king to do something for her, and the king said, here's my ring, you take it, you go and do it. So I had the authority there. So metaphorically, I said, thank you, Lord, for that ring of authority. I put that ring on. And this ring that he gave her had the seal, the king's seal, which she then used to mark the letter which would save the Jews from what Haman had planned for them. So the seal of the king meant that she got what she wanted. So I went up to the work table and I pressed my hand. I said, I sealed that job for Lisa. I pressed my fist down onto the table. I sealed that for her. And I don't know the time scale. It was maybe the next day or whatever that she heard she'd got the job. So amazing, you know, amazing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for walking through that path with me. Also, I had a deep desire to pray for the other people who were going for the job, because I knew they weren't going to get it. And I felt a bit bad. I felt I had a bit of an unfair advantage. So I was praying for them. Thank you, Lord. I bless each one of them, and they are going to get the right job for them. And it came to pass. So that is a victory that I've had, that I can look back on and say, wow, he did it before, he'll do it again. Vic's got an income stream that's about to dry up. Well, who cares? So what? God has got something bigger, better, more lucrative coming, so that we can be prospered and blessed and have enough money to give into all good works. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We don't need to have a negative declaration coming out of our mouth. We can be content, because he will never leave us and he will not forsake us. Genesis 28:15 says, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of. Yeah. Now the Israelites could have remembered that one, couldn't they? Oh, the Lord hasn't taken us there yet. So, right, okay, there's provision here. What's it going to be, Lord? Where's this water coming from? Deuteronomy 31:6. This is Moses talking before he dies, and he says to the Israelites, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Be not afraid of them. Why? Because the Lord, your God, he it is that goes with you, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Oh my goodness, you know, if we've got issues going on, print that off. Paste it on your fridge. Paste it on your forehead so whenever you look in the mirror, you see it. Backwards. Yes. You know, that needs to be written on our heart, because things may be fine now if you haven't got any problems. You know, how wonderful for you. But, you know, there are times in life when things go well. There are times in life when things go well. There are times when things go well, but they don't always. And we need to have this principle there, so that when things happen, we've got something to stand on, something, a rock. You know, we have a rock to stand on. One Chronicles 28, verse 20, David says this to Solomon, his son: be strong and of good courage. Listen to this, and do it. Fear not. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong. He's talking about building the temple. Be strong and of good courage. And you know what? Just do it. Whatever needs done, just do it. Just do it. And one of the things that we need to just do is to make God, his word, a priority in our lives. And I believe this is a fellowship that seeks to do that. But I tell you, there's deeper, further, higher. The love of God has length, breadth, height, and depth. And you can never get to the end of it, ever. And so there's further for us to go. There's deeper, higher for us to go in the things of God. Don't stay where you are. None of us stay where we are, but press deeper for more. More of God in our lives. We have it all. You know, I'm not saying we're asking God to give us more. We are pressing in to everything that there is for us. And I've written this last psalm down. Maybe this is for somebody here. Psalm 37, read from verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fail, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, there may be failure, there may be lack, but God will never see you forsaken and in suffering lack. That is not what he is about. Let's just stand together. I think some of us, and I hold my hand up, have spent too many times whinging and complaining and living as if we're saying, is God with us or not? And so if you feel that you have lived like that, in whatever area that might be, only you can know areas of lack and issues going on in your life. But whatever that is, let's just choose today to repent of that, turn around, turn away, and walk in the other direction from that kind of attitude. Father, we come before you. And Lord, we can see how we have failed the way the Israelites failed. We failed to look back at the victories that have been won. We've been failing to look at the provision that you've made in the past. We've chosen to forget. And Lord, we want to repent of that and reject that attitude and to have a mindset rise up within us of faith and hope and trusting in you, Lord, because you are our provider, you are our healer, you are all that we need. You are our power and our authority. You are our health. Lord, you are our peace. You are our provision. Father, help us to stand in faith, to rejoice in you and be excited about how you are going to meet our needs. Right now, Lord, we stand together and we agree together, Lord, that this will be a day of change, that from here on, we will rejoice in you and your faithfulness and your provision. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the wonderful salvation that you've poured out on us and for the word that you've given us. So we praise you, Lord, and we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to take communion together. And we're going to focus on our Lord Jesus, who is the reason that we have everything that we have. He's the reason why we can stand here and encourage ourselves like this. Because he broke, we sang this earlier, you break every chain, set captives free. You know, we've been released. We've been released from sickness. We've been released from disease and bondage and failure and poverty and lack. And God wants us to look up to him and see his amazing victory that he has won and come up higher in health, come up higher in health in a way that you haven't done before, pressing into healing in a way that you haven't done. And when it comes to finances, oh, let's look up. Let's look up and expect abundance. And I'm not just talking enough. I'm talking abundance. Abundance. More. Not to consume on our own lust, but to be a testimony and to be a blessing. A testimony to the power of God in our lives. And a blessing to others. Let's take the limits off of God. Psalm 78, whichever verse it is. I'm going to read it. Psalm 78. Speaking about the Israelites, just as we've been doing. Verse 40, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Our whinging and our complaining is limiting God in our lives. And I don't believe any one of us wants to do that. We all want God to have his full and perfect will and way in our lives. Now let's not limit him. And as we receive the elements and take communion this morning, just rejoice because it's only through Jesus that we have been given these amazing, amazing blessings. We're going to spend 10,000 years trying to get our heads around what Jesus has done. And right now, in our lives, here and now, we can know it and partake of it. So if you can Give out the elements, please, ladies. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Whinging and whining is saying, is the Lord with us or not? And he is with us. His word says he's with us. Right here, right now, in this place, he's with you. Right here, right now, God is with you. Vic had me out at the front demonstrating God holding me with his arm around me and leading me. Right now, God has got his arm around you. And he's saying, my child, I am your provision. I am your healing. I am your prosperity. I've got this. I have got this. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Because Jesus went to the cross for you. He took your sin. He left it in the grave. He rose a new man. He circumcised your heart. He filled you with the Spirit. He saved you. And now you are like him. You have his power and his authority because he went to the grave and he gave his body. His body was given for you so that you could know health and wholeness. Take and eat. Take and eat and receive fully of that health and wholeness. Thank you, Lord. Sorry, that was a big piece of bread. And this is the cup of the new covenant, a covenant, a better covenant based on better promises, and you are in it. You're part, God has promised you and you and you and you, all of us. He has promised us these things. And what he promises, he does. He's not a liar. He's faithful. Our heart will be the determining factor. Our belief system, our mindset, how we think about these things will determine our success. But it's only because of what Jesus has done. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed on the cross that has cleansed us from every sin and brought us into your wonderful covenant where we receive not based on our performance, but because of what you have done for us. And all we need to do is believe. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood given for us. I really believe that if we can get our heads around this, and I know it takes effort. I said in that prayer there that it's not based on what we do, it's about what he has done. That's referring to the provision. The provision is there. We need to learn how to tap into that and receive it. And that does require effort. Mostly about mindset and making sure we are full of the truth of his word. But I think today could be a bit of a reset. I feel like I've had a bit of a reset that started at conference, but then reading about the Israelites, that revealed a lot in my own heart. So let's be a reset where we take the limits off God and choose to believe that he will do what he has said he will do. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.